sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everyone. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones, Kevin Herr. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Go out and stock up for the weekend. You have to, because a big, big weekend of college football, the NFL. You're going to want to kick back. Oh, it's windy. It's cold out. What the heck? You're going to be inside. Enjoy it. Okay? Stock up. The best in domestics, imports, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Yes, I believe I just did. And on top of that, you also have snacks, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day. And the pickle bar, second to none. You know I love those barrel pickles. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. It was turn in the car day for Kevin, transition day. He'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes on the show. Okay, on today's show, Greg Pickle, Fight On State. We'll have him next half hour. Then Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling at 4:06. And then Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football, the preview tomorrow's game. So we have a lot going on today, and we're going to start out with Icky Woods. Kevin has been waiting all week for Icky Woods to be on the show. Now, I will let everyone know ahead of time. When you do some of these interviews, they are part of a promotional group. Remember we had Rick Barry on talking about his sneakers, the Basketball Hall of Famer, about 6-7 weeks ago. But once you get past that, which is important because that's the reason you get them, at the same time, you then get to the meat of the interview. Well, let's have some fun and bring in former Cincinnati Bengals running back Icky Woods, known for going to the deli and getting cold cuts. Icky, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show.
Oh, man, great to be with you. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. This is, by the way, a couple things. Let's get to, first of all, the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund, because this is a very important fundraiser.
Yes, it is. Very, very important. Actually, the Gridiron Greats have helped me get my needs done, so that is that's very important. I won my disability and against the Bengals, but every time I wanted to get something done, I had to take them to court, and the Gridiron Greats were great enough to step up and get both my knees done, man. I'm indebted to them for life, and, you know, for players like us, who really, once you quit playing and you don't have the insurance and you don't have the means to get it done on your own, then it helps for people like the Gridiron Grace to come through for us. And Rudolph Food plays a big part in that because they also donate a lot to help the Gridiron Grace do some great things for us.
And between now and the big game, every day is Pork Rind Appreciation Day, so tell us how that all ties in.
That all ties in because when you buy some of the pork rinds, some of the proceeds goes to the Gridiron Greats to help them out. They also have a pork rind game on the internet. Go to RudolphFood.com, and you can enter to win $3,500 in cash and get to play a game with me catching some pork rinds.
There you go. All right. Now, there's been a series of Thursday night games. Bengals and Browns, of course, have the Thursday night game.
Right.
What was Monday morning like for you after a game? And can you conceive playing a Thursday night game?
Well, you know, it's rough playing a Thursday night game, but once it's over, you got 10 days to recoup, so that's one positive to that. But then, you know, before you play that game, it's a short week, so you're playing almost like back-to-back games. But you know, everybody has to do it, so none of the guys are complaining. We didn't have to do it when I played,
right.
So we were fortunate enough that we didn't have to go through that. But you know, the guys seem to be handling it well, and like I said, there's some pluses and some negatives to that. You know, the pluses are that you get an extra day's rest or extra 10 days rest once you play that Thursday game.
All right. A running back's life in the NFL only has a certain clock to it, which you lived. As you lived through it, did you appreciate where you were at that particular time, or that appreciation happened later when you got out of the game?
Well, it had to happen later when you got out of the game because you're still young when you get in the game and you think you're going to play forever, and you end up finding out that you're not going to play forever. So you get more appreciation after you play the game. I was able to get 4 years in. Great. But it's also there's life after football, and guys have to understand that.
If you were to sit down and to counsel the players of today, based on your life, your NFL experience, your post-NFL experience, what would you tell them?
Well, first of all, I would tell a lot of them to make sure they get an education, because an education is one thing that can't be taken away from you. Football can be taken away from you, and other things can be taken away, but your education that can never be taken away from you. So that's first and foremost. And then secondly, I would tell the guys to either get a degree in business or something dealing with money, so you'll be able to manage your own money once you get out the game.
I know you've been asked 2.3 million times, so we'll make this 2.3 million in one. What were the origins of the Yucky Shuffle?
I just made it up, man. I was just sitting at home with my mom one day, and I flew her in for a game against the Cleveland Browns, and I was up acting kind of crazy with my two oldest kids at the time, which were 5 and 2. We were up dancing, and I was acting silly, and I was, Mom, if I score tomorrow, this is what I'm going to do. She's like, boy, you bet not do that. So I said, Mom, I got to. So I kind of started off where I just took my hands in between my legs, and I hopped up and down, and Ricky Dixon, who was our first-round draft choice that year, he was like, Woods, what was that? I said, man, that was my celebration dance. He said, man, that thing was whack. I said, what? I said, so what should I do? He said, you got to put some steps to it. So the whole week I thought, what could I do? And I couldn't come up with nothing. And 5 minutes before it was time to go out and play the game, it just hit me. I said, Rick, check this out. I'm going to go 1-2-3 this way. 1-2-3 this way, 1-2-3 this way, and I'm going to hop back 3 times and spike the ball. He's like, oh, yeah, Ick, man, that's going to be live. I tell everybody I was fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time. We were winning ball games. We made it to the Super Bowl that year. So I was just lucky to be in the right place at the right time.
What was the reaction from the crowd the first time you did it?
Well, the reaction was kind of mixed reaction. But when I threw the steps to it, you know, everybody was loving it. So, towards the end of the year, they made me move it to the sideline.
Right.
And Jim Brees came up to me and said, Icky, can you wait till after I kick the extra point before you do the shuffle? I said, yeah, Breacher, I got you, buddy.
It's really bad when the place kicker.
Do it, you know, the crowd would give a big roar, and it'd be right in the middle of him kicking the extra point.
It's really bad when the place kicker gets involved, Dickie. You know
that. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you went to the Super Bowl. You had a young football team at the time. Did you appreciate that week, or should you have appreciated it more?
Should have appreciated it a lot more. Because, you know, when you're young, you figure you're gonna have a chance to get back there. And as you can see, Bengals hadn't been back there in 26 years, so right. You definitely got to appreciate it, and I wish we would have appreciated it just a little more.
Yeah. All right. We have to ask you about the Geico commercial. I mean, have to, because everybody wants to know, how many people walk up to you now and say, can you get me some cold cuts?
Oh, man, quite a few now. Yeah. It's amazing. All the younger people know me as Mr. Cold Cut, you know, because they really didn't get to see me play my NFL career, so they know me as Mr. Cold Cuts. It's amazing. But, you know, anything to help get my son's foundation out there is wonderful. So we don't mind being called Mr. Cold Cut.
No, I'm sure you don't.
quick story, a sidebar on that. Penn State in 1986 was driving for the national championship, and Trey Bauer told me this. Joe DiMaggio came by, and Joe Paterno had asked Joe DiMaggio to speak to the team. So he gets up and speaks in front of the team, and one of the players looks over at Trey, and he says, "Well, why is Mr. Coffee talking to us?" Yeah. They said, "That's Joe DiMaggio. That's not Mr. Coffee. That's Joe DiMaggio."
Right. They don't know Mr. They didn't know him as DiMaggio. They knew him as the coffee guy.
Yeah, that's right. And at the moment, you're Mr. Cold Cuts.
Right, for sure.
Hey, one more time. The Gridiron Greats Assistant Fund in combination with Rudolph Foods and Pork Rind Appreciation Days.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. So please give your support and help us out, because we're all trying to help the veteran guys get through some problems that otherwise they wouldn't be able to get help for.
Very, very important that people understand that it goes to a greater cause and a greater good. Not only that, it's a great product. I thank you very much for that. I know you're getting in your car now, so again, if you could go get us some cold cuts, that'd be great.
Woo! You got to get the wool in there now. Woo! Get the wool.
Icky, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Hey, brother, pleasure's all mine. I appreciate it.
Kevin, you waited all week to hear Icky do that at the end, didn't you? You waited all week to hear Icky go, woo! At the end, to go get Kevin some cold cuts. And as Icky Woods goes out to get us some cold cuts for the weekend, I'm going to encourage you to go to Brewers Outlet and get yourself ready for the weekend as well to go with the cold cuts, because Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury, sponsors us on every Friday. And that means, of course, domestics, imports, microbrews, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day, snacks, and the pickle bar. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And Kevin will tell you more about another great week at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. We're heading to the bottom of the hour and a news update here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget, high school football coming up tonight. Playoff time. It is Shikellamy in action. Shikellamy is taking on Sealands Grove tonight. And Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort will be on hand for that one, beginning at 6:30 this evening, 7 o'clock the kickoff here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget, Lewisburg plays tomorrow night, by the way, at 7:30. Lewisburg's game is tomorrow night at 7:30. Other half of the bracket, of course, Jersey Shore Shamokin is tonight. And don't forget, with Bucknell playing tonight at 6:30, Doug Bergsong will have the call on Eagle 107 tonight. Well, that means that on 94KX, we will have the Sealands Grove broadcast tonight. But, of course, Kevin Herr and the coach, Dick Hort, with the award-winning and outstanding play-by-play of Shikellamy football tonight in the district semifinal tonight at Sealands Grove, 7 o'clock the kick, 6:30 the air time. Bloomsburg plays tomorrow. They play Lock Haven tomorrow. Bucknell plays tonight. Mathewson Stadium, 6:30. Come on out. Show the nation what Bucknell has been able to do and the groundswell of support here, because the nation will get a chance to see it on CBS Sportsnet tonight. I will be dialed in myself in Bloomington tonight at 6:30 watching that game this evening at Mathewson Stadium. I'm really looking forward to it. Bottom of the hour coming up. Next half hour, we will turn to Greg Pickle of Fight On State at 4:06. Jeff Byers on Penn State Wrestling. They open with Lehigh this weekend. And we'll then check in with Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football. Big show coming up today. But first, the bottom of the hour, news coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks to Icky Woods for being with us in the opening half hour. And if you missed it, and you shouldn't have, you can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. And don't forget, all of our shows are certainly archived there. You can check it out. I think you'll want to listen to Icky Woods. Kevin is so happy right now that we got him the part about cold cuts at the end with Icky Woods. And today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestic microbrews. You need to stock up for the weekend, okay? We're in November now. Yeah, maybe you'll rake a few leaves here and there, but you're going to want to watch football. Lots of football, all right? You want to make sure you have what you need to tailgate tonight at Bucknell. You want to make sure you have what you need to tailgate for the weekend anywhere you go. Or if you want to just sit in your living room and just enjoy one game after another, you need to be fully stocked. Imports, domestics, and microbrews, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day, snacks, and, of course, the pickle bar, second to none. Love the barrel pickles. Love them. And that's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin will tell you a little bit more about, okay, it was vehicle exchange day for Kevin, but he had a Lincoln this week, and he'll tell you more about that later. Greg Pickle, Fight On State, is about to join us here. We're going to talk to Greg about the game tomorrow with Indiana, which will be a noon kickoff at 10:30 airtime for the Dietz and Watson Tailgate Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And also touch on some recruiting as well with Greg. Greg, welcome. It is great to have you with us back on the show.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great to be back.
Greg, give me a read. You've gone through conference calls, press conferences, and so forth. What are you hearing as you listen to the answers?
I think these guys are ready to go win a football game in Indiana. You know, sometimes it's said that getting on the road and getting away from home can help. You know, Bill O'Brien talked about that a ton last year, just getting all the guys on a plane and going somewhere not State College and trying to win a football game. And while we necessarily haven't heard that exact tone from James Franklin or those exact words, I think that Penn State's really looking forward to the opportunity to get him back on track this weekend against an Indiana team that's not all that dissimilar from itself. I think Penn State has a very much better defense in Indiana. But it's funny, when you look at the offense, Penn State struggles to run. They're better passing, whereas Indiana can't run the ball, or can run the ball very well with one of the nation's top backs, Tevin Coleman, but they can't pass ever since Nate Sudfeld went out with a separated shoulder. So really interesting game this weekend, and I think, you know, the energy level will be there for this Penn State team, and I think they're just ready to get back on the field.
It's an amazing 180 that Indiana's done offensively compared to where they were last year, isn't it, Greg?
Oh, it really is. I mean, you look at this Indiana team, and I think we have to break it up into two different sections. The Nate Sudfeld Indiana offense that was capable of doing some bell huddle, capable of moving the football and scoring points. And then you look at the offense as it's directed now, and, you know, they're using, I think, one quarterback, but they may, you know, Diamount is their guy now, but they may switch it around. Who knows? And I think it's interesting when you look at this Indiana offense now. It's had 35 passing yards the last 2 weeks. It has not won in the last 3 weeks since Sudfeld went out against Iowa October 13th. And this is just an Indiana team stuck in an offensive rut, and they're they're one-dimensional, which really is going to make things tough for Tevin Coleman, the top back in the country when it comes to yards per game, because he's going to have to face a one-dimensional front, or you know, Penn State's going to face a one-dimensional front on defense, and we've seen how that has worked in the past when they've made teams one-dimensional. So definitely not the same Indiana offense you saw beat Penn State a year ago, and I don't see any reason why it's going to be any better this week for Indiana offensively than it was the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, even one-dimensional last week against Michigan, he still gained over 100 yards. He's gained 100 yards or better in every game this year, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you go back to the Ohio State game and look, I have to think Indiana's going to try and mimic that. Obviously, Ohio State had a good day on the ground against Penn State in their double overtime victory, and I think Indiana has to mimic that. They have to get Coleman to the edge. They have to try and get him outside and then hope for the best from there. You're right. This kid is incredibly talented. They block really, really well for him. And, you know, their quarterback's been beat up a little bit the last couple of weeks. I know that one of the talking points out of Bloomington was the fact that they have to keep him upright. But they haven't had problems blocking for Coleman, that's for sure, and he may have as much to do with that as anything. But really tough challenge for Penn State this weekend against this kid, and I think that, you know, when it all comes down to it, we're going to see, you know, yet again what this Penn State rush defense can do. It allowed a lot of rushing yards to Ohio State, but it never really got totally burned by at least their running backs. Now, quarterback was a different story. But I think that, you know, again, we'll see exactly what this Penn State defense is about Saturday at Bloomington.
All right, now, Christian Hackenberg, it's certainly, whether it's the locker room or a conference call, you've had a chance to listen to what he's had to say. What is your assessment?
I think he's frustrated. He said as much. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think there's any doubt about the reasons why he's frustrated. But this is a kid that, again, I think we have to remember he's 19 years old. And when you're 19 and things aren't going well, guess what? It's sometimes not pretty. It's sometimes ugly. But I think we've found that this kid is very resilient, and this Penn State team is very resilient over the year and a half, I guess you could say, that he's been at the forefront of this team as its quarterback. So I think he's frustrated. I think he's looking for, you know, I think he's looking for more success. I think this whole Penn State team is, and I think what it comes down to in the end is that you're going to continue to see that frustration until they do have some success. Winning cures a lot of things, and I certainly think it would cure the frustration Hackenberg and his teammates are feeling if they get a win in Indiana this weekend.
It's been quiet on the recruiting front in terms of announcements, but at this time of the year, it normally is. So this is not an unusual situation. So what are you hearing and not hearing right now?
I think you're hearing exactly what you expected to be hearing when Penn State went on the run it did back in the spring. You know, I remember we talked back in, you know, May and June and July, and I think people were struggling to grasp the fact that at some point this was going to have to slow down just based on numbers and math. It couldn't go on, you know, getting a commitment every month, every 2 weeks, whatever it was. It couldn't go on like that for the rest of the season. I mean, it's just not possible. So Penn State basically has taken all the prospects, it's won it so far, and now we're at the point of the year where you sit and wait for the high-profile kids. They want to go on visits. And official visits often are taken in November, December, and January for the top flight kids because they're either in the playoffs in their high school games and can't get on the road until then, or they just want to wait and see the best games, you know, that their teams have, the teams they're looking at have coming down the stretch. So I think that what we see right now with Penn State is they've zeroed in on guys they knew they could lock up early. Now they're waiting on guys that they want to lock up late, and that takes a lot longer to come to fruition one way or the other, whether they land the kid or not, because these kids are high-profile kids that have to wait until their seasons are over to make visits. And then some of them might want to wait to announce on TV on National Signing Day in February. And, of course, Penn State can do, you know, has nothing to do with that but watch and hope that, you know, they get the kid they want. So this isn't surprising. It had to slow down. Obviously, I think the season and the way things have gone over the last 4 weeks, you know, I think that may, you know, be, Penn State is still recruiting. I don't want to get out that impression that they're not recruiting. They're recruiting every day. They're messaging with kids. They're talking to high school coaches. They were on the road last Friday. But I think they've also really obviously put a focus on, you know, getting this team ready for Indiana. And, you know, there haven't been a lot of offers sent out, which isn't a surprise. And you know, right now things are where you would expect them to be for November, early in November. Very slow, very quiet, but that's not a bad thing.
All right. How many more does Penn State have to give out?
Well, it depends on, I mean, how many more they have to give out. I mean, the number floats around 5, 6, 7. But what you come down to is how many more do they want to give out? You know, you look at things like getting back to 85, and you look at things like how many guys will you lose at the end of this season, whether it be guys not coming back for a fifth year, whether it be graduation, whether it be the NFL, which I don't think is going to come into play this year. But you look at all these different factors, and then you have to decide, are you giving out, you know, if you, let's say Penn State has 6 top targets left and they have 6 scholarships to give out. Let's say they land 3 of them. So you have 3 left over. Then you have to start questioning whether you maybe take a chance on a kid or reach for a kid that wasn't your top choice just to fill that scholarship spot. Or do you wait and hope that the 2016 class fills out a lot better than you think it's going to, or you know, it comes to fruition, and then you spend that scholarship on an A kid instead of a B or a C kid. So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made, and that's why I think James Franklin's been cautious about saying, you know, we can get to 85, but there's not a guarantee we will. And that's exactly why, because at some point here, once your top flight, your A-plus kids make their decisions, if some of them don't come to Penn State, you're going to have scholarships left. And then you have to decide if you go to the B or C route, or if you wait and hope to get more A's next year. And, of course, to do that, you would have to save scholarships in this cycle.
Yeah, and this is at the point now where some of the top players who haven't committed, they usually wait, don't they, Greg?
A lot of them do, yeah. You'll see some decide before the end of the year just because they'll go on a visit and they'll be blown away, or you know, they know where they want to go and they just want to take visits for fun. And then as soon as they're done with their 5 visits, you know, they make their decision that, you know, many people have speculated about for months prior to that. Well, a lot of these guys at this point, they're going to wait till the turn of the calendar year. They're going to take official visits in January. Penn State is going to hold its big official visitor weekend the 3rd weekend of January. Other schools around the country will do that too. Most of these guys are going to wait. You might see a few decide before the end of the year, but a lot of the guys Penn State's still targeting are going to wait until January and February to decide, absolutely.
All right, back to Indiana for a moment. Greg, what are going to be some of your keys going into this game as you view it?
Obviously stopping Tevin Coleman, or at least keeping him in check. I'm not sure if you can completely shut down a guy like that. If they do, it's a real credit to Penn State's defense and Bob Shoup. But they have to keep him in check. No big plays, no chunk plays, and obviously bottle him up when they can. I think the second thing is we have to see if Penn State's passing offense can become more consistent. We've seen clips and times where they've picked up chunks of yards moving right down the field with quick passes, you know, 10 yards here, 5 yards there, 9 yards here, and that's really worked. And then they've gotten to the ruts where that doesn't even seem like it's a possibility to get 10 yards, let alone back to back to back. So I'm watching for that this weekend against an okay but not great Indiana pass defense. And then I'm watching for special teams. I think Penn State, you know, when you look at how these games have played out, if they could flip field position a little bit more, they probably wouldn't be, you know, they probably wouldn't have lost 4 games in a row, Northwestern perhaps notwithstanding. But I'm really watching field position this week, and I think we saw from both Daniel Pascarella and Chris Gullo that they're capable of booming punts. And this punt team with the gunners they have, Haley Campbell, you know, Troy Apke, these guys are capable of covering punts and stopping returners. But if the punt only goes 30 yards in the air and the guy's fair catching it, that doesn't really, in most cases, do any good unless you're punting from, say, the opponent's 40-yard line. So I'm watching, you know, obviously Coleman, Penn State's passing offense getting on track, and then, of course, special teams as well, and whether Penn State can flip the field in its advantage for the punting game and force its opponents to go long field and then maybe get something going in the return game and have some short fields of its own.
What's this season been like for you, Greg, to cover?
It's been interesting. You know, it's been really interesting to watch. You know, this is, and it sort of goes back to, you know, perhaps some of the perception problems Penn State has. When James Franklin arrived, there was a burst of energy. He rounded out the class of 2014 in fine style. He got off on a racing start to the 2015 class. The sanctions ended. Penn State beat UCF in Ireland. They came back and beat Rutgers in what was, you know, considered maybe the biggest game of the year to some fans, at least early on. And he had all this positive energy and a wave of emotion going into this 4-0 Big Ten start, so on and so forth, and suddenly it came crashing down, and all the realities and all the challenges and all the problems that everybody knew about going into this season and forgot about over the first month of the season finally came back around. And it was almost like there was this surprise that, you know, all these things were catching up to Penn State, when in reality they were probably due to catch up all along, but they were just forgotten about and glossed over. because Penn State was doing so well in so many different areas. So I think that, you know, it's one of those seasons where, you know, a lot of conclusions want to be jumped to, a lot of conclusions are jumped to, but, you know, you have to sort of sit back and look at where things are and realize as much as his team is 4-4, it could probably be 6-2, it could probably be 2-6. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It's a team that has won some close games, lost some close games, and, you know, I think the biggest thing we've seen is that there's been a lot of jumping to conclusions about John Donovan, about this, about that, about other things, and I just think we need more than 8 games to evaluate this whole season as a whole. It's really one of those years where I don't think you'll truly know how good or bad this Penn State team is until they finish things up in the end of November.
You okay there? You hanging in?
Oh, yeah.
You have a little cough here and there?
Yeah, a little cough. It's November in State College. It's warm. It's warm. I'm surprised. I didn't think we'd be walking around in shorts in November, but I've seen quite a few people walking around campus in shorts. So I suppose that, you know, the November weather is not quite here yet, but it looks like it might be in Bloomington this weekend. So I guess we'll see. Big game, though, obviously, for Penn State to go out there and get things back on track before coming home to play Temple.
Thanks so much, Greg. Appreciate the time, as always. Very informative.
All right, Steve. Thanks so much. Always enjoy coming on.
That's Greg Pickle of Fight On State, and great to have him on board. Next half hour, we'll transition to wrestling. The Nittany Lions will take on Lehigh in the opener Sunday in a sold-out rec hall. Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, is going to join us in the next half hour. And in the final half hour, we'll be joined by Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football. Tonight, it'll be Shikellamy taking on Selins Grove in the district semifinal at Selins Grove tonight. Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort will be joining us at 6:30 this evening with the pregame, and kickoff is set for 7 o'clock. And Bucknell football is coming up tonight. Bucknell and Fordham at Mathewson. That should be great. That is just a mere, I mean, just a mere 2.5 hours from now. A big game, national stage. CBS Sportsnet's going to be there for that. But, of course, you'll hear it on Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong. It was great to have Doug on the show yesterday to talk about the big game with Fordham. Fordham nationally ranked, but Bucknell 7-1. That should be dynamic tonight. Hopefully, as many of you as possible can get out to the stadium and see Bucknell play. They're having a great year. Bloomsburg is undefeated. They play at Lock Haven tomorrow. And Penn State and Indiana tomorrow as well. At noon, 10:30 the air time for the D2 Watson Tailgate Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's a great weekend for college football because when they put together the college football playoff, it's the November weekends they were thinking about in terms of generating great interest. And there's one big game after another that has playoff implications to it as to which teams would still be in the running to be in the Final Four. One of them, of course, being Michigan State, Ohio State. This is the Big Ten shot for a good show. Ohio State's 14th in the country right now. They have that bad loss early to Virginia Tech, and by the week, that loss looks worse and worse. Virginia Tech is 4-5 right now. And the Penn State game didn't help them. It helped them in one way, which I'll get to in a moment, and it didn't help them in another way. The way they won the game and the help by which they had in winning that game, the nation saw it, and people have complained about it, and it goes down as a win, but it's one of those where you sit back and go, okay, they had to fight in that one. In some ways, we're outplayed. Now you get to where it did help them. This is where it helped them in two ways. A, they won, so they didn't lose. All right, they won the game in double overtime, so they didn't lose, so that helped them. But you notice it didn't push them up the polls a lot. They went from 16-14. But where it did help is J.D. Barrett has now been in an incredible atmosphere. He will go into a great atmosphere tomorrow night in East Lansing at Spartan Stadium. But there'll be 75,000 there as opposed to 108,000. And he's going to go out there tomorrow night and say, you know what, I've been through tougher. I've been through louder. That's where it's really going to help Ohio State tomorrow. Michigan State has a very good football team. Maybe not quite to the level of last year. They were certainly better than Ohio State last year. You could see by the way they played and beat them in Indianapolis in the Big Ten championship game, and then how they beat Stanford in the Rose Bowl. Connor Cook is a year better, more mature. He's a very good college quarterback. Langford and Hill, two very good tailbacks, and I like their wideout group, including Tony Lippett, very, very much. Defensively is where Michigan State is really good this year, but not the same level as last year. Last year, they played defense in such a way where they put offenses on defense. This year, they have some really good players, especially Calhoun off the edge is outstanding. And I think Drummond, the safety, is really good. But it's still not to the same level defensively as they were a year ago. But I've maintained from day one that Michigan State was the favorite to win the Big Ten. I said that back in March, April, May, June, when everyone else was touting Ohio State. Ohio State now can prove me wrong tomorrow night. But at the same time, there's been nothing that has happened this year that's changed my mind about Michigan State. The game at Oregon is a 5-point game going to the fourth quarter. In the end, for Michigan State, as bad a loss as that was for Ohio State to Virginia Tech, that's actually one of those losses that a committee looks at that Michigan State had at Oregon and said, you know what, they played really well. All right, that's tomorrow night. That's the primetime game at 8. All right, coming up, we'll have Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, to preview Penn State-Lehigh Sunday at Rec Hall. Then Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football, all coming up in the next hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. News coming up top of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.